Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Tommy Patterson welcomes Senior Service Engineering Manager George Holman to the show as he shares with us how his team used Windows Server 2012 to help scale and improve the performance of Microsoft.com. Tune in as he describes the noticeable difference between Server 2012 versus previous versions of Windows Server, as well as outlines how his team planned for and deployed it in their environment. Tommy, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to this episode of TechNet Radio. I'm Tommy Patterson, IT Pro Evangelist out of the Southeast United States. Today we've got George Holman on the line with us. He's our Senior Service Engineer Manager for MSCom. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you doing?
Absolutely outstanding. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So we talked, in one of my last TechNet Radios, we talked to an early adopter of Server 2012. A lot of great feedback, but I think today we might have the earliest adopter of Server 2012 in production. Is that right?
Yeah, we're very early adopters of Server 2012. We've had 50% of our production servers running 2012 with 2012 beta. So yeah, we get there as soon as we can.
Outstanding. Great. So we had a pretty big project we needed to nail this time around. Microsoft.com, one of the biggest websites in the world. Talk a little bit about the requirements there, what kind of hits we had to make sure we can maintain, and that kind of thing for me, George.
You bet. So Microsoft.com is one of the biggest websites in the world. We have a reach of about, we're ninth in the world as far as reach goes, Comcast scores. We get about, as traffic patterns go, we get about between 23 and 26,000 requests per second. That equates to about 228 million unique visitors a day, 1.2 billion hits a day from 57 plus million unique IP addresses. So we get our share of the load for sure.
Wow, that is incredible numbers. So in the past, what kind of infrastructure was this built on? Was it 2008 servers? Was it virtual? How was that played out before?
Well, we've obviously had Microsoft.com running for many years, so we've dog-fooded almost every OS that's a server OS that for the last 10 years. It's kind of what we do for a living, and run the site as well. But to go from, we were running Windows Server 2008 R2, SP1, but when we started the Windows Server 2012 dog food effort.
We talk about this dog food term. This is, for those of you who don't know, that's where Microsoft takes any of the internal releases that have not yet gone public and puts them into play ahead of time so we can kind of flush out through any of the bugs and talk through any feature enhancements we might need to see. So it sounds to me, George, you guys do a lot more dog fooding than the average user at Microsoft or the average person that works at Microsoft in terms of scale. So you've got, tell me a little bit about how this is a private cloud that you've built. But when I think of private cloud as a virtualization guy, I think, virtual servers and templates and that kind of thing. So tell me a little bit about how this works now. This sounds physical.
So actually, we're not virtualized yet. We're still using dedicated servers. We have 67 servers, physical servers that we run www.microsoft.com on. Microsoft or MSIT, I'm in a group called SMIT, Sales and Marketing IT. All of MSIT is mandated to be what's called the first and best customer of Microsoft. So it's incumbent upon us to be very early adopters of the new OSs. We begin as early as the M1 build. And we call it dog fooding because if you're gonna have your, it's like eat your own dog food and see how it tastes before you try to serve it to everybody else in the world. That's kind of where that came from my perspective. We've been doing this again for 10 years, and the interesting thing for us is that we're gold on availability. Our availability is measured by Keynote Systems. It's a third-party industry standard measurement company that measures availability for websites, and our year-to-date platform is 99.92%. And again, that's the goal that we're always measured by. So we have to do this dog food work, run very early builds of the OS in production, and still maintain that availability metric.
It's outstanding. So I'm going to guess these servers aren't all in one facility. They're probably spread out across the world. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We have them in geo. So to maintain that availability, we try to have no single points of failure. That means in a server cluster, not one server. In a data center, not just one data center. So we have geo-diverse. If we lost a data center, we need to be able to run all of Microsoft.com in the data centers that are still available.
So talk about who the stakeholders were in this project. I mean, who did you have to bring together? Obviously the Windows Server team, but who else had to come into play here?
Well, primarily it's the Windows Servers team and the IIS product group. And the way we dog food is since we dog food in production, this is a very key workload for those folks. You can run a server build in a test environment, but if you're giving them live production load, it's really tough to ever replicate that in a test environment. So that's the value that we add to the dog food folks. So first thing we need to do is we need to work on shared goals. We need to hook up with everybody and say, what do you want us to test? And it's also got to make business sense for us to do that. So the stakeholders were for sure the Windows Server product team, the IIS product team, and then all the customers on Microsoft.com. There are probably 3,500 web applications that we host on www.microsoft.com. We don't go out to each one of those customers and say, hey, guess what? We're going to run Windows Server 2012 on your side in production. But we do a very careful, that we'll go into later, a very careful validation process when we roll the new OS out, and we make sure that nothing breaks.
Absolutely. So you get the two groups together, you define your requirements. What was one requirement that you found maybe we weren't meeting the bill for in the past we needed to overcome?
Well, for example, like the IIS team gives us a list of features that they want us to validate. One of them was called SNI. So SNI is a highly scalable certificate store. It's designed for high density hosters to be able to manage all their certs in one spot. That didn't make business sense for us because we're an anonymous website. We have one SSL cert. So we agreed to exercise the code path, make sure it didn't break anything. But as far as going deep into the functionality, that didn't work for us. The things that did work for us, the major shared goals that we actually agreed upon, was to make sure that we had no degradation of web server performance and site availability. Again, we're goal on site availability when we went from Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 to Windows Server 2012.
So the you have a rollover date when you finally go production with this new set of servers, and you've laid out this new plan. Was that day just completely, or did you have any kind of chops, or how'd that go?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, what we do is we get as early a build from the server group as we can get. So we actually started with the M1 build. We were notified, hey, we have an M1 build for you. You guys want you ready to start rocking and rolling with this stuff? And we went, sure. So we took that one M1 build, put it on one server, totally out of rotation, turned it on to see what happened. Typically, those early builds are pretty unstable, but that's our process that we start with. We take that build and we'll look at it. Typically what we do is we leave it up until it crashes, and then we send crash dumps back to the product team, give feedback to those guys. Our goal again is to be able to find as many problems in our production environment as we can before it goes live, because we are trying to keep the customers from going through the dog food experience that we're going through, because it's fun for us and it's part of our job. So that's where we started. That's how we started. And then we just, as the builds mature, we get more servers, more clusters involved, and we just go through this iterative process, and that's how we dog food.
That's outstanding. So we roll out a few servers here and there. We start configuring them. But now, like everybody knows, especially the consumer side, when you have a beta and you're running in test or production with beta code, when the new server comes out, there's not a direct upgrade path for that server build. So how does that work for you guys? What do you do there?
So we've invested a lot of time and effort into scripting. Scripting is the key to help us run in a smooth, seamless fashion. We have essentially a one-click script that will take a server and install the OS on it, just the base OS, Windows Server 2012, whatever build we're working on at the time. Once we get further along in the build process and we're ready to actually start seeing what this is going to look like with live production load, we have more scripts that we run to make sure that we get all the dependencies, make sure that IIS is set up right, we've got the IP configuration set like we need set. excuse me, and then sync all the content that it takes to run to make www.microsoft.com. So that's all scripted. If you try to do that manually, you're fraught with fat finger mistakes, and it's just a nightmare. It's a bit of an effort usually to get the scripts honed in and so that they're working really well. But once you get those, you're so far ahead of the game. It's really worth the investment.
Okay, so you got your scripts nailed down. You do your migrations. What methods do you take, or what processes do you take advantage of to make sure that you're not having problems before they're seen by, say, the end user or, on the server itself? What are there anything you're looking for, logs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you bet. So what we do is once we have a server that we want to actually put into production, we'll do that scripting work. We'll put the OS on it. We'll make sure the content get it turned it into a www.microsoft.com hosted server, and then we send synthetic load to the server. And the way we do that is we take live IIS logs from a live production server and we replay those logs on the server that we're building with 2012. Out of production, we use WCAD and TinyGet to do that work. And then what we'll do after that is then we'll compare the IIS logs and just see, okay, we saw these 404s and these 503s. Is this an anomaly or is this expected? So we make sure, essentially, we're replaying live traffic loads on a server before it ever goes into production. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. So, okay, we've gotten through the process of rolling out. We've talked about scripting. We've talked about how we look at the logs and how we use those logs. Now talk about what did we gain? What were the benefit gains here and some of those KPIs that we look at?
Yeah, the key KPIs that we looked at were CPU utilization for sure. And between Windows Server 2012 and Windows Server 2008 SP or R2 SP1, we had a 9.9% increase in CPU utilization. In other words, like it was more efficient to use 2012 than it was to use R2. And the other key performance metric was the available memory. We had 34.6% more available memory. Yeah, the other key performance metric we use is request per second per CPU cycle. We've calculated 1% of a CPU cycle, how many requests per second can we handle? Because we're measured, if we look at load, it's not bits, it's not not hits, it's requests per second. That's how we measure our traffic load. So we actually had a 13.4% increase in the amount of requests per second we could get with a better CPU utilization and more available memory with Windows Server 2012. And this is RTM. This is after we've already rolled it out in production, so these are verifiable numbers than we had with Windows Server 2008 R2.
Outstanding. So everything is completely 2012 at this point? We don't have any 2008s left?
Everything is completely 2012 at this point. And I have to always plug this. Through all this dog food work, we maintained our current 99.95% availability.
It's great work. Great work. Okay, so any other things you want to talk about to kind of wrap up today's session? Any special highlights you want to call out?
Probably just to think about if you're going to be doing work like this, what are your best practices for your deployments? And I just want to kind of reiterate, it's real important to gain consensus with your shareholders. Make sure that you all have agreed upon shared goals. You can turn into sort of a ball of string that go everywhere if you don't have those shared goals nailed down. Also, if you need to sort of be architected to dog food, in other words, we can take servers out of rotation, not impact our production traffic, because again, the goal for us is high availability. We need to maintain that availability metric. So do you have enough capacity then to validate that those builds that you're running can handle the production load while you're doing your dog food work? I guess the other thing would be is for sure scripting, as we talked about. We are big proponents of PowerShell, Windows PowerShell 2.0, but any scripting language that you want to use, it'll work for you. That's really good. And then I guess you need to, so what we did is for the individual milestones, we would say for the M2 build, we had X percent that we want to try to run in production. So we had goals that we set for the number of servers that we wanted to get into production. And then when we hit the beta time frame, again, we wanted to have 50% of our production traffic running all the time, live traffic in production. And that's what we hit. You also need to determine how you're going to monitor the migration process. You need to also make sure that you baseline your traffic patterns. If you need to know where your peaks and your valleys are. You need to know what your busy times and when your slack times are. It's just real important, so you can see. It helps you with your performance metrics. It helps you just understand the validity of your work. And then for sure, this seems totally obvious, but you got to QA your servers before you put them back into rotation, especially if you want to maintain high availability.
Okay, outstanding. So I really want to thank you today for being on the show. Every time we hear these stories of people that are rolling out 2012, there's different features. It's great to hear from the IIS side. Our focus out in the field lately has been talking about Windows Azure and all the pieces that go along with that.
Sure.
And, having the foundation had been tested way before it was rolled out to the public, with Xbox and, MS-COM and all the features that Microsoft rolls out. To be dogfooded on 2012, it's got to make a Windows Azure customer feel pretty confident that it's going to run well. So really want to thank you for your time today and for being on the show. And, look to have you on again sometime soon.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks for the invite. It was my pleasure.